Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Laramie Tunsil thing, he's not there either? That's where I have a problem. You can be on U Street doing the Cotton Eye Joe, messing the club up, buying sections, doing the whole nine, but you can't show up to voluntary OTAs?
Diplomatic immunity, fuck 'em. All that peace and that unity, all that weak shit will ruin me, fuck 'em.
Just be there. Show that you care. Show that you're not fucking.
Started talking to me like I'm slowing down. Opinions over statistics, of course. Gassed off journalistic. Come at me and all you'll get is the ballistic report.
301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Chris Russell Show. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. Back with you on Monday. What a first hour of the program. I mean,
a lot happened.
A lot has happened. If you don't follow me on social media, first of all, what are you doing? It is at NELL underscore BTP on all social media platforms. Laramie Tunsil has responded, I guess, to the video that I put out in response to him not showing up for voluntary OTAs. As I have continued to say, I am rooting for Laramie. I'm a fan of the team, first and foremost. Cover the team, also a fan of the team. Rooting for Tunsil. Know a little bit about his background coming up. Got it out the mud. Respect the hell out of him. I still wanted you to show up for voluntary OTAs. I still don't get why during 2 mini camp practices you didn't participate worth a lick. But there isn't any animosity for me. I'm not salty. I'm actually flattered, man. This is clout. This is clout. But in all seriousness, it's something I'm going to be monitoring come training camp. Is he in shape? Is he a full participant? They could may very well be an injury. Like I said, it's either one of two things. You're either hurt or you're out of shape. Both of which would have been good reasons to show up. The injury thing is interesting because if he is hurt, they don't have to report or document anything right now. So I feel like to me, it could be a nothing burger. It probably is a nothing burger. But boy, are we going to talk about it. 301-230-0980 is the number. Mark is in Laurel. What's chiming? What's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Lynnell?
What's going on, brother, man?
You know they did their due diligence when they picked this guy up, man. He's a lead player, lead athlete. And what does the NFL stand for? Not for long. So what's the point of him going out there, putting on a show where everybody know the tape, the video is all pro, you know. So what's the point of him going out trying to prove himself so the media can write something up about the dude? You know, I don't blame the guy. You know what kind of, nobody on their line can hold his man's job. So, y'all don't want to show up, all the top athletes do that.
Mark, I get what you're saying, but like, at some point, team matters, right? If you're on your high school football team, and everybody is at summer workouts and you're not, what type of message does that send to the rest of your group?
Okay, let me ask you some question. Ask Noah Brown if he wish he didn't showed up. You know, the only thing you can do is get hurt, and that's it.
I get you. But that, I mean, injuries are a part of the game, man. Like, I'm not going to fall.
And then also, I know, what's the point of getting hurt? That's all you can do with this thing is get hurt. There's nothing to prove. And also, I'm going to tell you, too, you need to pump the brakes on Luke McCaffrey, man. He's going against the B team, second team. Team that players ain't even going to be in the league. You played
this wasn't no. This was against Marshawn Lattimore.
You weren't out there.
I'm about to say, this was against Marshawn Lattimore. This was against the first team defense. He's been running with the first team offense all practice to this point.
Most of the stuff he's been doing a lot of work with the second team. He's been balling out with the second team.
So show me your media pass. Can I see it?
Did you play the A team or the B team? You balled out.
You got a media pass that can show me you were there and you saw that? Did you see that?
I know who.
Then I wouldn't comment, Mark. You saw him going up against the B team, Mark, right? You saw it with your own two eyes, or did you just hear about it? Because I'm talking to a guy who was there.
Put the pump. I'm down on Luke.
I'm just asking, man. Like, you saw it, right?
This,
did you?
That's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying. The tape don't lie, man. Go against the bees.
Tape don't lie, but neither do reporters like one Linnell Willingham sitting right over here.
When the real bullets going beyond, you know, we'll find out. Shooting blanks. Like I said, just pump the pom-poms on Luke. That's all I'm saying.
I will never pump the brakes on Luke McCaffrey. I can't. I put too much. I've invested way too much money into Luke McCaffrey scoring a touchdown, Mark. I can't do it.
Appreciate you, Mark. Damn, Max.
Listen, I'm just saying, man. Sometimes you got to bang for your boy. And,
come on, man. I dig it.
And, yeah. So, I think this is going to be a big year, too, for him. He did it against Marshawn Lattimore. He wasn't out there against the B team with that catch. He does get reps with the number twos. I get it. The passes have been coming from Marcus Mariota. But, hey, Noah Brown also got a pass from Marcus Mariota, and look where he got. So,
yeah. So, I just fired up the old X machine. I'm gonna go live here for a little bit.
Yeah, people in your mentions.
People in my mentions. People are all over this. It may be the talk of Commandersville right now.
It's a big moment.
It's a huge moment. But look, here's what I will once again continue to reiterate. The edit's cute. The edit's great. It's one of the, like, no facade, no cap. Like, it's real live. Like, one of the best edits I've ever seen. I wish you would put that type of effort into practicing. You know? That's all I'm saying. And I don't want to make this a me versus Laramie Tunsil thing. I swear to God, I don't. But geez, how am I the bad guy here? And see, my fellow compadres that were out there at practice over the past several days, no one has reported on this. No one has reported on this at all. How do you not show up to voluntary OTAs and then show up to mandatory minicamp and can't participate? Did Marshawn Lattimore participate? Yes. In every drill. Individuals. Teamwork. Not Laramie Tunsil, though. But I'm supposed to act like everything's all peaches and roses and all fine and dandy. See, that's the problem. I'ma tell her how a T.I. is. I'ma say what your favorite host is afraid to say. That's the difference between me and a lot of other folks. But, like, that's the whole thing. I swear to you, I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill with this. I'm not. But it's just hard for me to treat that like a nothing burger when you consider that this is a former All-Pro, a perennial Pro Bowler, and Houston traded his ass. He was the best player on that offensive line. Him, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins are the best three players on that offense. Yet, they shipped him out of town for peanuts. When you think about what he is as a player. I'm not trying to read in between the lines too much. I can only speak on the factual information that's been presented. That's all I can speak on. And all I know is this. Laramie Tunsil didn't show up to voluntary OTAs. And when he showed up to mandatory minicamp, he did as much work out there as I did. Point blank. And there's two things that can be true with this. It is either an injury, which they don't have to report on right now, or he's out of shape. Both of which are perfectly good reasons as to why he should have been at the voluntary workouts in the first place. Think somebody gives a damn about you posting a cute-ass workout video? I don't know what you've been doing. You didn't do that on the practice field Wednesday. Is that old footage? Better ask somebody. Vince is in Akakik. What's going on, Vince?
What's up, Linnell?
What's going on,
you
man?
You fired up today, man.
He got me on one, man. He probably couldn't. No, I'm joking. Laramie Tunsil would put my ass in the dirt.
Nah, he was real bad. Real bad.
He's
real
a dog. That's the thing. He's a dog.
So, Linnell, I do get it because I've had these same conversations in my circles. But with that being said, like, being on your side of it, because I've had your argument. I've also been on the other side, the argument that I'm going to present right now. Nobody questioned Silverback when he did the exact same thing every year he was here.
But Silverback showed up to mandatory minicamp, though, man.
I mean, and as did Lerman. But
Silverback participated.
When Silverback participated in the same stretches that Lerman used to participate. And I used to be like, because I remember days when I'm like, hey, what's up with Trent? Why he ain't go the whole session today? Why he ain't participate in 11 on 11? And then I learned with Trent that Trent was just going to be Trent when it was time to be Trent.
Yeah.
So my thing for real with Lurmy was I didn't need him to participate. I didn't need to lift a weight, nothing. I mean, he proven that he going to be what he's supposed to be.
100%.
Jumping offside.
100%. And I'm on board with that. I know how good he is as a player.
I need him not to, I just wanted him to kind of be around for the camaraderie right. part of it, the brotherhood part of it. But, I mean, you know, the first thing Josh Conley said was the first text he got was from Lurmy Tunsil. So if the guys in the locker room saying, you know, he's been reaching out and, you know, he's been making this bond. Everybody not a leader the way, you know, Terry is a leader.
Of course.
Mean, from what I'm understanding, they wanted him to be a leader, and he's not Terry McLaurin. He's not Bobby Wagner. So, you know, everybody ain't going to be that type of person.
For
so
sure.
I'm feeling like if they had an expectation for him, if I'm paying you millions of dollars, and part of the reason why I want to pay you millions of dollars because I'm saying you're a great player, but I want you to be a Terry McLaurin, Bobby Wagner type leader, and you don't want to be that type of person, that's reason for me not to want to pay you millions of dollars no more. Definitely not to give you a contract extension. So just because it didn't work for them, and that don't mean it won't work for us. Because like you said, we don't need him to be a leader. We just need
not
him
at all.
On Sunday not to jump offside and to make sure Jaden gets 9 seconds to throw the ball.
For sure.
That's it.
Vince, I appreciate you as always, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. I just saw AJ, one third of the Trap or Dive podcast, tweet at me and say, are you really doubling down on this? AJ, you know I'm not doubling down on this, bro. The take, forget the take for a second. Move on from the original video. I think the timing of his little cute-ass edit is amazing because he didn't do diddly-poo during mandatory minicamp. But if John Kime would have said it, if Ben Standick would have said it, if Nikki Javala would have said it, it would have been front page on Commander Social. But because I said it, it's not really taken with much credence. Y'all need to chill out, man. You better ask somebody. I'm out there. I promise you I am. 301-230-0980 is the number. A couple of calls lined up. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will let you hear from Lurmy Tunsil, who spoke to the media after practice on Wednesday, and it was all positive. Next, they're on the Team 98.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Chris Russell Show. Youngest in charge and L. Willingham sitting in for a guy, Chris Russell. You can call us at 301-230-0980. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. Talking all things burgundy and gold right now. We're efforting to try and find the audio cuts from Sean Pendergrass from 610, the Fan in Houston. Joined me and Denton Day the day after or a couple of days after, okay, Lurmy Tunsil, they're not, it should be individual cuts in there of it.
So I recorded it off the computer for overtime that night because it didn't, you remember that.
Yes. So there we go.
I'll cut it live.
So we'll let you hear from Sean Pendergrass in Houston coming up momentarily. He covered Lurmy Tunsil every day with the Texans. And at that time, I was stunned, and I still am, to hear this is a all-pro caliber player. To hear the way the Houston media members and fan base talked about him on the way out the door, you can't help but question, damn, who did he tick off? Damn, who did he make upset? And I played at terrible Division III Bethany College for the worst head coach in America, Bill Garvey. And he had one thing that stuck with me. He said, perception is 99% reality. So when the perception of Lurmy Tunsil is that he's a me guy and that he's a little bit lazy and he doesn't really care about being a leader or being a good teammate, and then you don't show up to voluntary workouts with the new team, damn that, right? Because it's voluntary. You all keep saying it. Well, now why are you complaining about him not showing up to something that's voluntary? That's not my complaint at this point. You showed up to mandatory minicamp and still didn't do anything. So what does that mean to me? Like, I continue to reiterate, I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. You all talk about me flip-flopping so damn much, right? I'm staying firm and concrete in this. He's either out of shape or injured, both of which perfectly good reasons as to why you should have showed up.
301-230-0980 is the number. Let's get to EJ in D.C. What's chiming? What's going on, EJ?
Linnell. Thanks for taking my call, man. But my thing is this. How are you going to make something big out of a man that's showing up?
Hold on, EJ. Let me correct you. Did I make it big or did Laramie Tunsil make it big by posting me on his damn Instagram? Who made it big, me or Laramie?
You said something about him on U Street. That's my neighborhood.
And shout out to U Street, man.
You said that on U Street. What about when it's time to play football? That's what we're worried about.
Yes.
We're not worried about him, where he go, who sleep. We're worried about that. What we're going to worry about is him keeping his all-pro like he's been and give us the left tackle that we ain't had since Trent Williams left. And I watched the same thing you talking about, what they talk about in Houston. This not Houston. This Washington. We don't care about Houston and what happened in Houston. What we want him to do is show up and do what he was doing for the last few years. Everybody is not a leader, man. Some people are the way they are. But when the game starts, that's what we're worried about.
I respect
that's all we worry
about. I respect it wholeheartedly. And look, that's all in reality that I'm worried about as well. Do you think I would have brought this up today on air if Laramie Tunsil didn't make this cute-ass edit? You think I would have been talking about this? Probably not. Actually, I would have, because I wanted to tell everybody. I don't get how you don't show up to voluntary work, and then when the mandatory work comes around, you do nothing. That's all. I'm awaiting word to see whether it's an injury. We'll see in camp whether or not he's a full participant, but here it is. This is Sean Pendergrast from 610 The Fan in Houston talking about Laramie Tunsil right after he was traded from the Houston Texans.
I think where I'll try to inject some perspective and sanity into this, because you guys, you know, you didn't follow Laramie on a snap-by-snap basis, or you weren't at practices and weren't at training camp with Laramie the last couple of years, so that's why I'm here. He's not a guy who likes to practice. He is not a guy who loves physicality. As good as he is at protecting the passer, he's been a mediocre to abysmal run blocker. And by and large, he doesn't seem all that interested in improving at any of those things. He really loves to put side eye emojis when other tackles get paid. That's a big hobby of his that he retweets. He retweets Schefter tweets of, say, Penei Sewell getting a big money. He loves to point that out. Laramie is a paycheck player. He's a really good player, and he's a good dude. He's well-liked by his teammates. But he was a guy that in the Texans offensive line room was for some reason viewed as a leader, and I think the view of upper management, coaching, personnel, front office, is that he was dragging down that room. And I can tell you that's the feeling among Texan fans, is that he was dragging down that room because the guy's just not – he's not what D'Amico Ryans is looking for in players. D'Amico Ryans, I mean, you guys remember him as a player. That dude was a – he was a pipe-swinging MF-er, man. Like, and that's who he's got on defense. Now it's time to build the offensive line that way. So that's the Houston perspective. That's why 88% of the people who voted in my Twitter poll, approval poll of the trade, guys, 88% of Texan fans approved of the trade yesterday.
That's nuts. That's nuts. This is a guy who's been – PFF's had him graded as a top three tackle over the past five seasons, yet Texans fans were eager for him to get out of the door. For Sean Pendergrast, look him up. Super respected radio host, has been doing this for a long time. For that to be his analysis of Laramie Tunsil, and then I get him not showing up to voluntary OTAs, and then he doesn't participate in mandatory minicamp, how perception is 99% reality. Point blank, perception is 99% reality. 301-230-0980 is the number. I want to let you all get in on this. Let's go to the truth teller himself. AJ is in D.C. wanting to chime in. What's going on, brother, man?
Yeah, bro, I had to call in because I was disappointed that you doubled down.
I'm not doubling down. I'm giving new information.
It is no new information. Like, you keep saying voluntary. So if it's something voluntary, you have the option to show up or don't. And in a guy's situation like Laramie Tunsil, you're walking away from a lot of money by not being there. So even when he does show up for mandatory, like one of the main things Dan Quinn is known for is protecting his players and making sure that they're safe throughout the season, they get their downtime, all of those things. So I think to put out there that he's either injured or out of shape isn't fair to the player until you definitively know, because it simply could be just their plan. It really could just be Washington's plan to keeping this guy healthy.
AJ, Marshawn Lattimore is coming off of an injury last year and participated in everything.
Hold on, that two different guys, right?
Right.
Like two different guys, two different weight classes, two different sizes, right?
True, I give you
so
that.
So at the end of the day, you know, you just mentioned the Pendergrass guy, right? For example, I mean, you know, we got a show, Trap or Dive.
For sure. Make sure y'all go download that wherever y'all get y'all podcast. You know, I'm going to shout you out.
We interviewed DJ Bienemy, who covers the Houston Texans for the ESPN. And his view on Laremy Tunsil is completely night and day from the guy that you just played. So everybody's perspective is different. I just think that what you did in that moment, of course, it is going to go viral. It's going to lead to that player possibly hearing. You got an amazing video out of it. But I don't think that you should, like, make it a bigger thing. Just be like, yeah, it's cool. Like, let's keep it moving. But I think Laremy is within his rights, especially we know how Dan Quinn protects his players, his vets. Zach Ertz has talked about it in his time being in Washington. Other guys in the past, Julio Jones, have talked about it, how much he protects his vets. And I think that's just what it is. I mean, if the Pendergrass guy is going to say all those things that he made and Laremy made all-pro teams and has been viewed as one of the best left tackles in the league, then damn, what are we complaining about? You feel me?
AJ, have I complained? This is my thing. I think my whole angle and premise on this is being totally misconstrued. Totally misconstrued.
By who?
Everyone.
Go ahead. You said straight out your mouth, he's partying on U Street and not at voluntary camp. You feel me? Like, yeah, he can party.
Because the first video,
bro, like,
for sure.
It doesn't matter, bro, because it's like at the end of the day, it's voluntary, right? And if he's willing to walk away from $500,000, that's on him. Totally. A lot of players do it around the league. I just think that when it comes down to being present for the mandatory things, such as this week, minicamp, training camp, and the games especially, there's nothing to worry about. As long as he's doing his job, he ain't getting in no trouble off the field, you Gucci. Like, that's just how I view it. And you know I got love and admiration for you. And as soon as I seen it, I text you. You ain't respond back. But as soon as I seen it, I text you.
Because I had already got the drop this morning. Somebody said it to me first thing this morning. Before
hey, man, I just,
his social
I just
media
don't
team.
You,
go ahead.
I just don't want you out here doubling down on it. Just move on. Enjoy your
I'm not doubling down on it, bro. I swear I'm not.
A couple weeks of not having to worry about anything happening. Maybe Terry gets re-signed or not. But, like, yeah, man, just bask in the moment, you know, because at the end of the day, you're gonna see him face-to-face.
I already
seen
him.
You might throw a right or left hook.
Hey,
yeah,
look,
but when you see him face-to-face, he didn't know that it was you.
Me. Right.
Now, trust me. Knows.
Hey, look, AJ, you know how I get down.
Black guy with a tipper face.
You know how I get down. We probably going to have an interview coming up in training camp. You know how I get. It's no smoke duct over here. Appreciate you as always, brother, man. 301-230-0980. We got Mike Jones from The Athletic coming up at about 2:40. So we will run through a couple of more calls before we get to him. Let's go to Jeremy in Baltimore. What's going on, Jeremy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Thanks
you doing?
For taking my call. So, first of all, let me respond to that clip that you played and where you said 88% of fans were okay with the trade. Were 88% of his teammates okay with the trade? That's what's relevant, right? Because what I'm about to say and what everyone calling into this radio station is talking about don't mean a hill of beans, right? It's what did his teammates feel about him and did he perform? Why it's a different scenario that it makes sense for Lattimore to be in camp is he was terrible last year, right? Laremy wasn't terrible. Lattimore was also injured. And this dude is on a one-year deal, I think. I don't know how many years left that Lattimore has, but he has to have a great year from start to finish in order to drive his market value. Which brings me to my last point. I am 46 years old, turning 47. I've been with Washington through thick and thin, the ups, the downs, the amazing season last year. I am a huge Terry fan. He's been great. He's been consistent. He's shown up. But, like, he's not there, right? And he's under contract. So what's the difference? Are you holding Terry as accountable as you are Laramie? They're both being paid to be there. I get it.
Terry's so you know what Terry has earned? You know what Terry has earned? Hold on. You know what Terry is, you know what Terry has earned over the first 6-7 years of his career? The BOTD, benefit of the doubt. He has been the utmost consummate professional since he's come here. And all you hear about Laramie Tunsil coming from Houston is me. And this is a move.
Hold on 1 second. Linnell, what do you know about what Terry's demanding from Washington? Because if he's demanding 35 more a year, is that reasonable?
See, this is why I think the fan base.
I've been arguing my friends all week. All I see on Instagram, pay the man. Pay him what? Be specific. Are we going to pay him the same amount as Jamar Chase?
Now,
are we
going to pay him? Now, Jeremy, I hear you on that. Jeremy, I hear you on that. But here's the thing with the Terry negotiation. And I'm glad you brought this up because I want to get to it a little bit later, too. Terry's got all the leverage in the world. Terry's got all the leverage in the world. The Commanders. Huh?
Especially since Noah just went down.
Exactly. So for him, he's got that. Like, it's his job to get the absolute most money that he possibly can. He gave them a sweetheart deal last time around. Now it's time for him to get paid. It just so times up that his contract is about to run out after he has a career year in touchdown receptions, after he has the big-time year that he has.
I'll jump off.
Go ahead.
Is he a top 10 receiver?
First of all, I think receiver is the deepest position group in the NFL. I think he's in that. You can have him ranked as high as 10 and as low as 15 or 17. I think he's in that tier.
What are you paying Terry? If you're the GM and you're Washington,
I'm going.
What per year?
I'm going three. I'm going 3 for 93, giving him about. I'll probably give him about 30. I'm going DK Metcalf's deal. That's my starting point. $33 million annually. DK got $60 million guaranteed. I'd give Terry $63 million guaranteed just to beat it.
So everyone can recognize that if Terry is demanding more than that. That it's not our franchise that's still, oh, we got to do it. We've been so bad. We're reverting back. Adam Peters doesn't know. If Terry's demanding 38, hold out, Terry. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it. You've been a great dude. But if you want to leave JD5 right now, adios, sayonara, we'll be all right, man. Because you know what? All I know is 10 out of the 15 top paid receivers in the NFL were watching JD5 in the playoffs last year.
For sure.
If he's gonna handcuff our franchise to 38 mil, see ya. That's all I gotta say. I want him back, by the way, but for 30 or less.
As do I. Appreciate you. As always, 301-230-0980. Mike Jones, senior NFL reporter for The Athletic, joins us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Boy, if we had an eventful start to the show. Hour and change left to go right here on the Chris Russell Show. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. We'll take you up to 4 p.m. That's where Craig Hoffman will take you on your afternoon drive home. We'll get off the Laramie Tunsil stuff for a second here. Right now we go out to the guest hotline where we find one of my absolute favorites, my pal Mike Jones, senior NFL reporter for The Athletic. Give him a follow on the X app at By Mike Jones. What's going on, Mike? How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing well. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I appreciate you making some time for us. Let's just ask you this question, Mike, because you're someone that's been around the block numerous of times, a veteran NFL reporter. What is your take and stance? Let me just give you a scenario here because I want to get you up to speed with what we're chewing on here locally. Laramie Tunsil did not show up to voluntary OTAs for the Washington Commanders. He showed up to the mandatory minicamp but did not participate. He was on a side field and really didn't – the team didn't give an injury designation. So I made the assumption that he's either hurt or out of shape, which is why he should have showed up to the voluntary work in the first place. When you think about the reaction that folks in Houston had after he was traded from the Texans, how is he perceived nationally as a player?
I mean, he's one of the best left tackles in football. A lot of people were surprised around the league that they traded him. They felt like, okay, yeah, you know, maybe you don't want to sign him to a long-term deal, but he still had, you know, they could have waited until next year to trade him. So it was a surprise around the league. He is viewed as a guy that will help Washington, you know, as long as he can stay healthy. Having somebody like him to protect Jaden Daniels' blind side will definitely be a big asset. And, you know, they've kind of patchworked that thing together at that position last couple of years. So to get a proven guy, multi-year Pro Bowler like Laremy Tunsil is something that was viewed as a good get for Washington.
For sure. And I think from the Commanders' perspective, it's an elite player that you're acquiring. Just knowing the type of tight ship that D'Amico Ryans runs in Houston, why would you get rid of a player of that caliber, knowing where your quarterback currently is and knowing the state of your offensive line?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, contract situations as they are, lots of times you have a guy who's going into, you know, he wants a longer-term deal, maybe a new contract extension, and that was something they felt like, you know, you've kind of been nicked up here and there. Let's get something for him now before it's too late. Let's go ahead and trade him, get some assets. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with them long-term if they're able to find a really top-level, you know, replacement for him. So, you know, they signed a veteran, and they also drafted a guy, I believe. And so we'll see how it pans out. But lots of times when you have a guy, we don't know behind the scenes if they were already talking, his agent asking for an extension because they had this year and then next year, and they decided, you know what, let's just move him now while, you know, he's still got some miles left on him, and then reset and continue to build that way.
For sure. It'll be, you know, interesting to see how Houston is able to rebound from that. They have made wholesale changes to their group up front in hopes of, you know, improving the camaraderie in that room and bouncing back in 2025. I want to keep things in the AFC for a second. The quarterback battle that's going on right now in Indianapolis, is this now Daniel Jones' job to lose, Mike, after Anthony Richardson has been unable to practice here to this point?
Yeah, it seems like it, because going in, you knew that they were hoping to see Anthony Richardson finally turn a corner, but you didn't know for sure. That's part of the reason, a big reason why Daniel Jones went there. He knew that if he stayed in Minnesota, that he was just going to be a backup to J.J. McCarthy. Well, now he figures, okay, Indianapolis, they got a guy that's been injured here and there, off and on, in his first 2 years in the league, and maybe I have an opportunity to get onto the field. And so it was going to be Anthony Richardson with the first crack at it, and then if he faltered, then Daniel Jones. But now, you know, they say the best ability is availability.
Yes.
And so Anthony Richardson not able to stay on the field. You know, it's unfortunate for him because you look at him, he looks like a physical specimen. But when you think about it, he did not really play a lot in college. Yeah. He did not have an extensive resume there, a lot to go on as far as seeing how he is durability-wise. You know, really unfortunate events for him when he got hurt his rookie year. And then last year, they had issues with his professionalism, his approach. You know, and then, you know, it was a bad look when he pulled himself out of a game because he was winded. You know, you're a starting quarterback in the NFL. You don't do stuff like that. And so he was going to have a very short leash coming into this year. And now that he's not able to be on the field because of that shoulder injury, it looks like the door is open for Daniel Jones to take this thing and run with it. And look, they just need somebody to take care of the football, distribute the ball to their playmakers. They don't, you know, they've got a good defense. They don't necessarily have to have a Patrick Mahomes. If they have a veteran that can just kind of, you know, man the ship. Now, I'm not saying Daniel Jones is the, you know, lock of an answer, a difference maker, because that guy, I can't remember what the streak was that he had games without a touchdown.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know, it was pretty bad. So we'll see what a change of scenery can do for him, but they feel like they have a steady guy at least that can stay on the football field and manage their offense.
When you consider, I guess, maybe the tragedy that's obviously happened to Jim Irsay, maybe changes the timeline organizationally for Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard. Is this a must-win, got-to-have-it year for them?
I think so. I mean, because, you know, they've had changes. Now Jim Irsay's daughters are running the team. And if this thing is a disaster, you know, and then they're going to look and be like, all right, hey, we're going to, you know, make changes, get the guys in here that we think can run this organization. I kind of am surprised that Chris Ballard has gotten as many chances as he has. And so, you know, but Irsay was a guy that was patient. Now he's gone. We'll see what happens. A lot of it hinges on that quarterback position. But yeah, they don't, neither one of them, I would think, have a very long leash.
For sure. Joined right now by our guy, Mike Jones, senior NFL reporter for The Athletic. Give him a follow on the X app at By Mike Jones. Another situation in the AFC that I'm keeping my eyes on is what's going on in Miami. Mike McDaniel and company have yet to win a postseason game since they've gotten there. Obviously, the health of Tua Tagovailoa has been a big reason for that. Do you look at that head coach in front office having pressure on them going into this year?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, we will see if Tua can stay on the field because they're a different team when they have him. You know, I think last year they lost with 4 out of the 5 that he was not there for, and they really were in a hole. He came back. Once he worked off the rust, they really had a chance to do something. You know, they looked way more competitive. So if you have Tua for a full season, I'm not saying that you're going to beat Buffalo for that division, but you're at least in the hunt for a playoff spot. And, you know, yeah, if they get there, that's great. I'm not saying that just getting there is enough to save Mike McDaniel's job. You would like to see them get a win. You know, if they do get there, I would think that would help them a little bit, but you definitely can help yourself with the victory in the first round of the playoffs. And then it looks like you're actually going somewhere because, you know, as we know, patience runs thin in this league. And if you're not getting results, you're not, you know, putting a dent and making a run in the postseason. They can make changes even if you have promise. We've seen it happen before other times.
Mike, I'm going to ask this to you as bluntly as I can. What the hell are the Bengals doing?
Well, you know, I was doing a project earlier this offseason asking agents, front office people, you know, kind of to give me a gauge on which owners are in this thing legitimately to win, which ones just want to be competitive, which are content with just being middle of the pack, and then which don't have a clue. And a lot of people said to me that they didn't feel like the Bengals are actually trying to win. They're okay as long as they're competitive and in the mix there. They did not feel like they would have paid both of those wide receivers if Joe Burrow had not really put the pressure on them. Now we see Joe Burrow, you know, speaking up for Trey Hendrickson, trying to get him paid. So far, it sounds like the Bengals are being the Bengals and being cheap, not really wanting to offer what it would take to keep him. And so we'll see what's going to happen here. But then they've got their top pick who leaves camp because there's some language in his contract that, you know, that he wasn't comfortable with, he and his agent, that, you know, financially. So they're again, they're a team that is in the mix. They've got a talented quarterback, explosive wide receivers. But, you know, they're changing. They're starting over at defensive coordinator. But if you don't have your top pass rusher, and, you know, then that defense is really going to take a step backwards. And this team is not going to be able to be in the thick things in their division. Because right now, say they have Trey Hendrickson, I feel like it's Baltimore, then it's Cincinnati, and then it's Pittsburgh, and then Cleveland. But if Cincinnati still can't get anything figured out and their defense has got a gaping hole in it, there's no way that they're going to be up front there with Baltimore. They drop down, and the door is probably open for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's fascinating that they – I remember Hard Knocks back in the day, the Andre Smith holdout that they had. I just think it's crazy that this organization continues – to move this way financially and honestly begin to feel bad for Joe Burrow, who is signed up there long-term. We'll see if he's able to compete for championships while playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. To keep things in this division, I haven't been out there, obviously, because I'm here in D.C., but nothing but rave reviews coming out of Cleveland for Shedeur Sanders. What is your gauge and read of that quarterback competition and where it stands as they get geared up for training camp?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, it does sound like he is doing everything he needs to do, but also, look, this is a competitive, you know, situation here where you got Joe Flacco, who's seen and done it all. You got Kenny Pickett, who, you know, I don't know if he's going to wind up being, you know, a quality starter in the NFL or if he's just going to be a journeyman backup. And then you got Dylan Gabriel and you got Shedeur Sanders. And so somebody, And obviously Deshaun Watson, he's probably going to be on IR all year. Somebody's going to be the odd man out here. They're not going to carry four quarterbacks. And so training camp and preseason is going to be very interesting. I think if the two young guys, the two rookies play well, I wouldn't be surprised if Kenny Pickett's gone and Joe Flacco starts the season as your starter. I fully believe that by the end of the season, Shedeur Sanders is going to be starting for them. You know, I don't know when it is that he takes over, but, you know, yes, we know Joe Flacco can still do some things, but there's, you know, an expiration date on that. You know, he's definitely got a lot of miles on him. And as we saw last year, he got in there in Indianapolis, but wound up, you know, not being able to hold on to that job. So I think that he might give the Browns, you know, a decent start, and then we'll see what happens. But I think I just don't see how they go the whole year with Flacco. And I don't think that, you know, I know Gabriel gets rid of the ball quickly and things like that, but he's not as physically gifted, able to make something out of nothing the way that Shedeur Sanders is. And so that's why I think that Shedeur Sanders probably has a little more to offer and might wind up being the guy before the end of the season.
I would have to think that's the way that it's going to go, Mike. It's just still strange to me the way that their draft weekend went down, taking him and Dylan Gabriel. But I will say this, like, put all of the bad press to the side about Shedeur. I think there are a lot of folks out there that felt like he was a, you know, highly skilled passer and had the chance to, you know, make a career for himself in the National Football League. Now, how good he will ultimately be, what the ceiling is, I think, is the question here. I'll let you go on this. As you look at the current landscape right now in the National Football League, as we get geared up for camp, who is the biggest threat in your mind of the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, still.
look, they really lost that game because their offensive line was just duct taped together. They had rotated guys in and out at left tackle, not for injury, but for performance reasons. It was a patchwork quilt, and you saw they could not hold their own against the Eagles' defensive front. Well, they've gone out. They've gotten veterans. They've drafted a first-round pick as the left tackle. And so they fortified that offensive line. And they also added a couple skill position guys on offense, some playmakers on defense. So I think that the Chiefs can be back in the thick of things here. As far as the NFC goes, I don't know. You know, the Packers might be a team because I think that the Lions are going to take a step backwards. They got two new coordinators, you know, so there will be some lumps that they've got to take and things they've got to work through. So I don't see them. The Rams, possibly. Packers, Rams, you know, might, you know, we'll see what happens with the 49ers too, because they had to hit the reset button at a number of key veteran positions there. But I still think Eagles are the front runner in the NFC, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a repeat of that Super Bowl rematch to see what happens here with Kansas City and Philadelphia.
Mike, I appreciate you making some time for me as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon. Enjoy the weekend, brother.
All right, man. Have a good one.
That is Mike Jones of The Athletic. Give him a follow on the X app at By Mike Jones. I am doing something that our pal Craig Hoffman says never to do. I'm reading the comments, and I mean, you all are insane.
You're not supposed to do that, Leno.
You all, no, because you all are insane. You all are insane. I don't get it.
Tell them why on the other side.
I'll tell you why on the other side. It's next here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.